welcome to this week's D-Listers of History Sidebar, where we look at the historical context around current events. My name is Fega, and I am a public historian and tour guide. This has been the spring of the college student protest. Across the country, students have built encampments protesting the war in Gaza. While the encampments are primarily comprised of students, there's also representatives from like local religious groups, graduate student unions, faculty unions, and Jewish Voice for Peace and things like that. While each campus protest has its own unique demands, they are all demanding that their schools divest from companies that do business in Israel. While some colleges and universities have sat down with the students endeavoring to find a solution, others, notably Columbia University, have taken a slightly more aggressive approach, calling in police and arresting students en masse. We have a loud and proud tradition of student protest here in the United States. It even goes back to the colonial era before the United States was even a thing. The first college protest that I could find was in 1766, which was the Butter Rebellion on Harvard's campus, which had to do with food shortages related to the just increasing issues between what became the United States and Great Britain. The Harvard students, I don't know, they walked out and they yelled some stuff and then went and ate someplace else. They were upset with the quality of the butter. It was like rancid. But what I think is really interesting is that one thing that hasn't changed is administration's response to this sort of thing. So in 1766, the Harvard Corporation said it was alarmed by the violent, illegal, and insulting proceedings. Language which is mirrored today by administrations where these encampments are. So for example, at Columbia University, you have the president describing protesters occupying Hamilton Hall as creating a disruptive environment and raising safety risks to an intolerable level. One student protest, though, historically, looms way over the others in the American psyche, and that is Kent State, the protest in May 1970. When President Richard Nixon won the 1968 presidential election in a landslide, it was on the promise that he would end the increasingly unpopular Vietnam War. In April of 1970, however, the United States invaded Cambodia, setting off another series of anti-war protests across the country, especially on college campuses. On Friday, May 1st, an anti-war rally was held at Kent State University in Ohio. This rally was about what you might expect. So there's like passionate speeches. They had a dramatic burying of the U.S. Constitution to protest the fact that the Vietnam War was actually not really a war. It was never declared by Congress. Students planned to continue that protest on the next Monday, on May 4th, but tensions were running really high. And that stress, combined with the usual Friday night activities of college students, just boiled over. Students were protesting in the town of Kent. They were smashing windows and vandalizing and setting fires and all kinds of stuff. And so due to these actual actions of the protesters and some frankly kind of bizarre rumors, such as a plan to spike the local water supply with LSD, Kent's mayor, Leroy Santrum, declared a state of emergency and eventually called in the National Guard. The Ohio National Guard showed up on Saturday, May 2nd, just in time to watch the campus ROTC building burn to the ground. Tensions continued to escalate, as they tend to when you bring in military force, and the National Guardsmen, they arrested protesters and threatened them with their bayonets and all that sort of thing. Students, in return, were throwing rocks at them. In an attempt to end the issue, the university decided to cancel the protest on Monday, which went over about as well as you might guess. So the students, they showed up anyway, about 2,000 of them, and so did the National Guard. The National Guard tried to force them to disperse, and the students were not having it. They were throwing rocks, still throwing rocks. They're really into rock throwing. At about 12:24, some National Guardsmen began firing into the crowd. There is some disagreement about who started the shooting, but indisputably they shot into the crowd for about 13 seconds, though it felt considerably longer for many of the eyewitnesses. Four students, Jeffrey Glenn Miller, Allison Beth Kraus, William Knox Schroeder, and Sandra Lee Scheuer, died in the shooting. Enraged, the students began pelting the National Guard with yet more rocks, until a geology professor came to the rescue. His name was Glenn Frank, and he begged the students to stop to prevent any further bloodshed. This is what finally put an end to all of this. As far as the National Guard was concerned, the only medical intervention required was one guy needed some painkillers because he got hit with a rock and had a pretty bad bruise. So there's that, I guess. Nationwide, this completely escalated the student protests, unsurprisingly. This showed up in all kinds of ways, like a bunch of students at the University of Mexico were bayoneted by their National Guard, and two students at Jackson State University, a historically black college, died. They did a Gallup poll on May 5th, and they showed that 58% of respondents blamed the students for the incident. In my opinion, Kent State represented a permanent escalation in student protests. After Kent State, every student protester knew and knows that this could happen again. Steps have been taken to avoid this, but that does not change the fact that our rhetoric around protests, especially those by young people, has continued to escalate. We saw this in the terrorizing of neighborhoods around the George Floyd protests, and the subsequent flurry of state laws allowing motorists to hit protesters with their vehicles if they're blocking traffic. But even before all this, it still showed up. I have a personal story about this, about an event that got blown ludicrously out of proportion. I attended a small liberal arts college in Northeast Ohio called the College of Worcester. There was a beloved tradition, I assume it's still there, of just shoving snow into the archway of one of the main buildings until it reached the top. And you could only do this when there was a sufficient amount of snow, which didn't happen until my junior year of college. The event was pretty sedate, all things considered. It was a weeknight, so the students were pretty universally sober. Everyone just kind of was like, hey, let's have fun and put snow in the arch and then go back to our dorm rooms and finish our homework because it's a weeknight. But that all came to an abrupt stop when the Worcester City Police, all decked out in their 9/11 era funded anti-terrorist gear, just charged in and ordered us to stop. There's a lot more to the story that is not important to this video, but what is important is what happened to a fellow student of mine who I knew personally, who was a member of the choir. At this point in the night, when he started trying to talk the Worcester police down, we were pretty bored. The students, we didn't want to disperse because, you know, we're just stubborn. But also, there wasn't really anything to do, and it's putting snow in an archway isn't really going to bring out the righteous indignation that, you know, actual protests do. So students were doing all kinds of stuff. Most of us were kind of just milling around and talking. There were some people trying to cover up a much hated piece of public art with snow, just that sort of thing. So you've got this like really chill crowd, and this choir student says to the Worcester police officer, I mean, come on, look around. What do you see? And the police officer puts his hand on his weapon and says, I see Kent State. And that's the point, right? Is because of the national interest at the time and continuing in Kent State's bloody protest, it's permeated our culture in a way that no other deadly protest has. And it hangs like a specter over modern protests. Even when no one is quite as heartless enough like that officer to say it out loud. If you are participating in any protest, like whether it's the campus protest or something else, like just stay safe. Make sure you're paying attention to your surroundings. Keep up the good fight. Thank you for listening to Delicious of History. If you are listening to us as a podcast, please give us a review on whatever platform you're listening on. If you found us on YouTube, on our first YouTube video, welcome. Give us a like and a subscribe. Our next episode will be out Monday, May 13th, and will be a biography episode about the Chevalier d'Eon, an 18th century French spy and dragoon who lived half their life as a man and the other half as a woman.